you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listener. It's Monday, February 4th, 2013. I have a special guest in the studio, a head kahuna. More to say in a second. Are you super bowled out? Did you enjoy all those commercials? And how about those Ravens, 34-31? Great Super Bowl. Founders Week starts tonight at 7 p.m. on WGNN, and Jill Savage of Hearts at Homes will be our special guest tomorrow. Reading from Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Oh, what a great verse. I'm sure familiar to many of you, and a favorite of my studio guest today is Michael Chitty. He's in the studio with me. Thank you, Michael, for driving out, and you're going to be a neighbor soon.
I am, Mark. We're excited about the opportunity to, we just made an offer on a home in Whiteheath, just down the road from you, so we're excited and hope to move here in a couple months, and excited to be out in this neck of the woods, and just excited to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Now, you've been in our area for a little over a year, I believe.
Actually, yeah, this is year number two for us in the Champaign area, and I've been renting a house and looking forward to moving and getting my kids out where they can roam a little bit, and I'm excited about that.
Now, I know you recently received a new title as Chief Educational Officer. Prior to that, you've acted as the elementary principal at Judah Christian, and you're the head varsity basketball coach. So, like, what do you do in your free time?
Well, you know, that's one of the great things about Christian ministry is the opportunity to serve in a variety of capacities. And this is my 20th year in Christian education. And over the years, I've done a little bit of everything from teaching, coaching, administration. It's just been a real privilege how God has used my life with my five children and my wonderful wife and the positions that I hold at Judah. There's not a lot of extra free time.
Now, before I have you share some of the goals and visions of what Judah stands for, some of our listeners have heard me bragging you up already, because a couple of weeks ago I walked into your office. I kind of pitched a proposal to see if we could hold our Merge Gospel series there, and you and the business administrator, Pam Garrison, were kind of intrigued and said, well, that lines up. We want to reach out to the community. We believe in God's Word being divided and shared and taught, and I think after a few minutes we were all pretty excited about the whole thing, so I just want to publicly thank Judah Christian, you and the staff and the board and the administration, allowing us to hold our first Merge Gospel series there on Thursday night, April 11th, and we're excited to hold it on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. And I just appreciate how you enabled me to get closure on that, because I wanted to find a location that was centrally located that could accommodate our Great News Radio listeners, and I'm excited. It's a community-wide Bible study, and I was looking for a facility that maybe the unchurched person wouldn't be as hesitant to maybe attend or go to, because if it's in a church, they might be like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there. Or sometimes, you know, people are a little more territorial. And I thought, Judah Christian has such a great reputation. It's a great location, a great facility. And so, again, I just want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to meet there beginning April 11th. And I'm just excited about this Merge Gospel series.
We are, too. And we are so excited that you considered us for that location and that study. And our vision as a school is just to be able to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do that, obviously, through the educational realm on a weekly basis. But if our facilities can be a service to the community, an outreach opportunity for others to hear the gospel, we are all in.
Well, that was the first time I met you, and that was the first time I met Pam. I stopped by. I was just praying up where we could meet and met with Pam, and she said, hey, well, let's go down and talk with Michael, and then you fit me in. And so after talking with you and learning about your role as the elementary principal and the head varsity basketball coach, I thought, I need to get you in the studio and hear how God has led you to get here. So before you share some of that narrative of your life story, you chose, or you recommended me reading that Micah passage. Why is that special to you?
Micah 6:8 really just kind of wraps up, I think, what Jesus Christ calls us to do as ministers, as fellow human beings in this this game of life that we're all engaged in. And, you know, to do justly for me is to, the first part of that verse talks about just being fair, treating people fairly with kindness, consideration, the way that we would want to be treated. And then love mercy is to be quick to forgive. Mm-hmm. We all mess up. Mm-hmm. I mess up. We need the opportunity, as Jesus Christ has forgiven us, to forgive others. And then that third portion is a constant reminder to stay humble. In my position at Judah, my position as a father and as a husband is to mirror Jesus Christ and how he lived. And of all the qualities of Christ that have most fascinated me is his humility. Mm-hmm. He was God and he was man, but yet he chose to take on the sin of the world. And to be a humble leader is what the world tells you not to do. The world says just the opposite. But in God's plan and in God's ministry, it's all about humility. So I'm honored and humbled to be called to serve in Christian education at Judah Christian. And Micah 6:8 just kind of wraps it all up for me.
Now, you weren't always driven to be in Christian education. In fact, you're kind of surprised God led you this way. I know you've served in a number of capacities these past 20 years, but it wasn't your initial intention to be in Christian education, was it?
It was not. In fact, I'm the son of an educator. My dad was a high school math teacher and basketball coach, football coach. He did. I come from a family of five. I have four sisters and no brothers.
Oh.
And so I had a great upbringing in a Christian home, and I told myself upon graduation that I would never teach or coach. And I thought to myself, you know, I did not want to do what my dad had done. I always admired what he did, but I just had all these other aspirations. So I thought, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, and I wanted to pursue money and things like that. And then ultimately, through a series of events, I started to pursue criminal justice. In fact, initially, before we had children, right after we got married, I got a master's degree from Illinois State University in Normal in criminal justice. And my plan was to go to the FBI and serve in some capacity there. Prior to going to Illinois State to get my master's degree in criminal justice, I served as a crime scene investigator for the Austin Police Department in Texas. My wife actually is from Texas. I'd gone to undergraduate school down there, a basketball scholarship in West Texas, and from Illinois originally down to Texas. I was able to serve as a CSI, fingerprint technician expert, for a couple of years. I was fascinated with that. So then I decided to pursue the master's degree, so we moved back to Illinois, where I'm from. And
did those Texans call you Yankee and shoo you out of there?
They did. They did. In fact, that's the first time my wife had ever lived outside of Texas, and we've been Midwest people ever since. She still doesn't quite tolerate the winters, but and occasionally she'll still pull off a y'all. You'll hear her say y'all, and I'll say that too. That's probably about the only thing other than my wife that I took out of Texas was that word y'all. I use that occasionally. But pursuing that master's degree in criminal justice, and then just on a dime, God just turned my heart. And it was interesting how it happened, because we were in Normal, my second year of graduate school. I just had our first child, and my wife is working as a speech pathologist at a hospital in Peoria. And I had an opportunity to join a church in Normal, Calvary Baptist Church, and they had a small Christian school. And they had the pastor and the administrator of the school had heard that I had played college basketball, and they were desperate for a high school basketball coach. And the coach had left kind of suddenly in the summer. So they basically pleaded with me to fill in, teach one PE class in the afternoon and coach basketball. And I had a little extra money, and I thought, you know, my graduate school's works primarily in the morning, and opportunity to go up in the afternoon and coach high school basketball. And long story short, it was a love at first experience, and opportunity to administer to those teenage boys and teach that one PE class. And slowly but surely, I noticed that as I was finishing out my master's degree, I was more interested in spending time at Calvary, at that time Calvary Baptist Academy, it's now Calvary Christian. Just down the road, I was more interested in being there ministering to those kids. And it was just so interesting. By the time I finished my graduate work, and I was in a really unique situation because I was a graduate assistant. I worked directly with professors on their research projects. And many times at that level, they're expecting you to go on to get your PhD and stay within the department. And I'll never forget, I walked into the office of the advisors that had invested so much in me. And they were basically asking what our plans were. And I said, well, actually, I think I'm going to go full-time at the Christian school down the road.
Mm.
And it just floored them. It floored my wife at first because it just was not my plan. But God gave me the opportunity to minister to kids and to see lives changed. Mm-hmm. And my life was changed by a variety of youth workers growing up. And my high school basketball coach, a godly man who is now the athletic director at Decatur Eisenhower just down the road, he was a tremendous role model. And I saw those opportunities to begin to breathe life into kids. And I fell in love with it. So that was 1993 that I went to the administration of the school and said, I'd like to serve in these capacities. And at that time, it was athletic director and basketball coach and volleyball coach. And I taught a couple Bible classes. And 20 years later, here I am still in Christian education. And I would not trade it for the world. It's been a huge blessing that God has used me and used my family and my wife and my five children. It's just been a true honor.
And in God's economy, he never wastes those experiences, even the criminal justice and just the things that you learn through that to be able to be maybe more effective with kids or discerning different things or even seeing those yellow flags or things to be conscientious
right.
of, I'm sure.
That there's no doubt. In fact, even the bumps in the road and the times where God is taking you to a school or an experience or maybe an encounter with a parent or a teenage boy that was struggling and really bucked against the system. Looking back at all those experiences has prepared me for where I'm at now here at Judah. And thankfully, in all my years in Christian education, I haven't had to rely upon the criminal justice experience too much. Mm-hmm. Haven't had to have a lot of investigations or things like that. But those experiences, and I believe firmly to this day, if for no other reason, God brought us back to Illinois State Normal to get that graduate degree just so that I could have the opportunity to walk into that door of that Christian school. Mm-hmm. And 20 years later, here we are.
Well, we're so glad to have you in our community. And I'm especially glad that Great News Radio is partnering with Judah Christian with the special Merge Gospel series beginning in April. But I like how you shared that not only did you grow up in a Christian home, but you had pastors, coaches, other people pouring into your life. Mm-hmm. What was that point of decision where you maybe made to follow the Lord Jesus, where you recognized you were a sinner or maybe far from God, even though you were maybe morally doing the right things,
right.
you had good parents and they were modeling Christ to you? Was there that certain day or time where it made more sense to you or you said, God, I can't do this on my own? Or has that been a continuing, ongoing development?
Well, there's no doubt. 1975, First Baptist Church in Salem, Illinois. I grew up about 2 hours south of here, that Dr. James Baldwin was preaching a message, and I'll never forget the invitational hymn was Just As I Am.
Hmm.
And God just really convicted me that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And I couldn't do that by myself. And the gospel was so clearly preached at that church. And I knew that I needed Jesus in my life at that time. So I accepted Christ as a believer in 1975 at the age of 8. And then through youth workers and as we mentioned before, a variety of people, I've grown in Christ. And of course, at a young age in my career, just starting a family, God just then turned that corner in Christian ed and put me in the ministry for 20 years. So the serving Jesus has been a lifelong opportunity for me. But that point in 1975, when I recognized that I needed a Savior and I could not save myself, it's the greatest decision I've ever made.
Mm-hmm. And God could have kept you on that track where you were in criminal justice or maybe working with the FBI or whatever and have blessed that. But it seemed like he clearly said, nope, you know, Mike, I'm going to take you this direction. Yes, you could serve me, because we have listeners that serve in the criminal justice system. Some are professors, plumbers. They work in the shop. They're teachers. God can use us wherever we're at. That's that Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. But he kind of clearly took these past experiences, these skills. At this point, you had one child. When did 2, 3, 4, and 5 come along?
They came along quickly. 1994, my daughter was born. 1995, my first son. 1997, my second son in 1999. So we had, at one point, we had 4 children under the age of 5 and a half. And let me tell you what, it was, well, I tell you, my wife, she is a wonderful lady.
Yeah, tell me about St. Shelley.
Boy, she is the real deal, Mark, I'll tell you. We met in college and married in 1991, and we've been married for going on 22 years. She is the love of my life, a lover of Jesus Christ, and a wonderful wife and mother. And I tell you what, when I made that decision to go a different direction than from what the world might have told me to go. The pursuit of a law career with maybe the money and the fame of the FBI or something like that. And God said, no, we're not going to do it that way. And we're going to allow you just to squeak by financially, but I'm going to make you rich with kids. Mm-hmm. And we have five wonderful children. Hannah, who's a freshman at Cedarville University in Ohio, Christian University, and then Ethan, who's a junior at Judah, Logan, who's a freshman at Judah, Cade, who's seventh grade at Judah, and then Luke, the only of our the Chitty family that was born in Ohio. The first four were born in Illinois when we first started working here. But they're just a wonderful family and very supportive, and my wife has been my support through moving to a couple of different schools and having to have all these kids in car seats and diapers and going from basketball games or to a school event. And we spend so much time at the school or in the gym because my boys are all involved with basketball right now and things like that. So she is truly a saint and has been my best friend along the way. I would not be where I'm at if it wasn't for her.
And was it love at first sight? Now, you met at college, right?
We did. Yeah, it was love at first sight. It's a small Christian college, actually, in West Texas, Hardin-Simmons University. At that time, they were NCAA Division I, and that's the reason I was able to get a basketball scholarship to go down there, 1,000 miles from southern Illinois. And she was from Austin, Texas, and she was there, an unbeliever. Actually had gone to college to play volleyball, and I saw her the first week. I was a year older than she was, and she's a beautiful lady. And when I saw her at a distance, I thought, wow, she's kind of a long shot for me, but I'd really like to date that girl right there. And we actually started dating later on that fall, and we actually dated for 5 years, off and on, trying to make sure she was the one. I never forget that. I was home in Salem down in southern Illinois. My mom said, hey, when are you going to marry that girl? And I'm like, well, I don't know. She says, well, you just need to go buy a ring, and let's just get this done, because I know she's the one for you.
Good old mom.
Yeah, she helped me pull the trigger there. So she's from Texas. My wife's from Texas, and I've been dragging around the Midwest ever since.
In case you're just tuning in, I have Michael Chitty in the studio with me. He's the chief educational officer at Judah Christian School in Champaign, also leads as the elementary principal, K-6, and is the head varsity basketball coach. And I'm just privileged to have you come out, and you're going to be a neighbor soon, so I'm excited about this. But maybe in our closing 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, share some of your vision and passion for where you see God leading Judah Christian and your involvement with the great board and the faculty and the staff there.
Yeah, Judah Christian is an outstanding Christian school, and this is my second year to serve, and I've seen a lot of Christian schools over the years, and Judah's right at the top of the list. There's such a well-balanced place. We have excellent academics, and I tell parents and I tell visitors that we are a private Christian school, but we are a Christian school first. Jesus Christ is number one, and our mission statement, what we believe, what we teach, is based upon what God wants for our lives. And we have a tremendous faculty and staff, wonderful teachers. I know as a parent they're wonderful because I see it in the lives of my own kids. But then I get to walk the hallways and pop in the classrooms and see these teachers pouring out their hearts in the lives of these kids, and not just their minds, but their hearts and their souls. We have a great balanced curriculum where we are giving an excellent academic education, but also with a biblical worldview approach. We're just sold out to making sure that these young boys and girls grow up to serve Christ. That's our ultimate goal, is to move them closer to Jesus Christ. And the school board's been so supportive. I've got a great administrative team that serves with me. Business manager, you mentioned her, Pam Garrison, and secondary principal, Linda Harris. Our preschool director, Becky Davis, and our athletic director, Brian Mead, have been just a huge resource to me. We truly work as a team, and we're all in this together. And Judah Christian, initially, I think people thought we may be the best kept secret in Champaign-Urbana. And one of my heart desires is to see it no longer be a secret. I want more people to have the opportunity to see how great a place it is.
And your website's judah.org?
That's correct. www.judah.org.
All right, listeners, stop by, have a look, maybe send your children there, come out to our Merge Gospel series beginning April 11th. It's a Thursday night. We'll be meeting the second and fourth Thursdays beginning in April. We appreciate the work you're doing, Mike, your passion for the kids, your desire to see them equipped and growing, your heart for your faculty, your staff, and the students, obviously. proof in the pudding. 4 out of your 5 children are attending there now.
That's correct.
So kudos to all the Judah Christian family, faculty, staff, students that tune in to Great News Radio, and we're excited to partner with you in the days ahead. Earlier, I mentioned one of my favorite passages out of Colossians 3:23 about whatever you do, but you also like 1 Corinthians 10:31. Tell me why.
That's probably my life verse. When people ask me, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And many years of working with students, I always say, you know, God doesn't ask us when we serve Him to only serve Him in the church. The verse doesn't say, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do in church." It says, "Whatsoever you do, period, do all to the glory of God."
Yeah.
And that's a great life verse to sift all your decisions through. So whether we're eating or drinking, Paul says, or whether we're in the elementary classroom, or whether we are out serving where we're working, as long as you're serving and giving God the glory, it's great.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Mike, for being a part of this edition of Mark and Friends.
Thanks so much, Mark, for having me. It was a real pleasure.
We'll continue to pray up the work that is being done on behalf of the kingdom through the students, through your staff and faculty and leadership at Judah Christian School in Champaign. Stop by judah.org to find out more. Also, let me remind you, live coverage of Founders Week begins tonight on WGNN at 7 p.m., opening night for Founders Week, with Paul Nyquist, president at the Moody Bible Institute. And the live sessions all week long will be 7 to 9 p.m. on WGNN. So for our WGNJ listeners, you can switch over to 102.5 FM. And the live morning sessions will begin tomorrow, Tuesday, February 5th through Friday from 9:30 to noon. That's Founders Week, heard on WGNN. Also tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and I will have a conversation with Jill Savage from Hearts at Home, as the Hearts at Home's Women's Conference is coming to Bloomington Normal March 15th and 16th. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, whether it's at 7:32 a.m. or the 7:32 p.m. re-airing. Now that'll only be re-aired on 89.3 FM because of Founders Week. So make it a point to tune in at a convenient time, or stop by our archive programs page at greatnewsradio.org and listen to the program anytime. Oh, and don't forget, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and find out more about the Merged Gospel Series, our community-wide Bible study that'll begin Thursday night, April 11th, being held at Judah Christian. It's going to be an exciting gathering. We're going to learn and grow closer to God, elevate the Lord Jesus Christ as we learn from His Word through the 4 accounts of the Gospel narrative through this unique study we're entitled The Merged Gospels. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.